1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up tonight on our show, we have Larry Grover, who will talk about how women, once they get divorced, they run around making fools of themselves, trying to have sex with younger men. And Larry tried to tell his ex-wife, yeah, look, he doesn't really, he's not all that interested in sex, so she doesn't need to pretend like she cares about it, too. Or something like that. Anyway, we're going to talk to Larry, and we'll also have Dr. Jim Sadler on, the head of the Traditional Male Values Coalition. If, for instance, there are millions of Americans who smoke marijuana, and therefore we have decriminalized laws to recognize the reality that there are a lot of Americans smoking marijuana, then why not decriminalize domestic violence? After all, one in three men beat their wives. That's a fairly common occurrence, and therefore may be a part of the culture at large. That's what Jim Sadler will talk about when he's on our show tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. Now, yesterday we were on the show and we were talking about the TV show Will and Grace. You may be familiar with this show. I'm sure you. It's a hit. And it features a number of gay characters. And all I said was I thought the stereotype, these broad stereotypes they do in that show, were not only lame and not funny, but how do they warrant an award from GLAAD? That would be the same thing as if Step and Fetch It and the Black-Faced Minstrels got a, you know, a Black Pioneers Award from the NAACP. Oh, that's fantastic. The way you tap dance with that parasol over your head, let's give them an award advancing the rights of black folks. You see what I'm saying? Or if you gave an award to the head of Enron as a great example of white men in business. The guy's like a stereotype of every crooked businessman you ever... Who was the guy? Kenneth Lay? As in, I got laid? As in, he put it to me? Yeah, that guy. So, along comes Will and Grace. Mincing, preening fags, queens all over the screen. Then they have the one guy, Will, who is, you know, wears a suit and doesn't lift the pinky when he drinks a beer, so I guess he's the cool gay guy. I don't get it. And they get the big award from GLAAD. Why? Well, the answer is very simple. GLAAD, if you'll pardon the expression, has been wanting to get into bed with Hollywood for years. In fact, Hollywood has certainly promoted the cause of gay men and lesbians in a positive way. I don't want to say that it's all negative. But GLAAD is like so many of these organizations that claim to empower people. They don't know where to look. They don't know where the real heroes are. They don't look and see where the real creative work is being done. They just go to the obvious place. They just turn on the TV set. They don't look for the real geniuses. They don't look for the real creative people. They don't look for instance, our show. So we brought up Doug Danger. The Doug Danger character, we're very proud of that gay character. He's a gay man, he's a gay journalist, and the thing that we said about Doug was that he, unlike just about any gay character I can think of, he's non-sexual. In other words, yeah, he probably in his private life he has sex, but he doesn't talk about sex. He talks about the politics of life, and he is an arrogant activist. In other words, he's a negative gay character, but not in the prissing, step and fetch it, someone fetch me my terry cloth robe, I need to vacuum mold. He's a arrogant, pushy, violent kind of gay guy. And in so being that kind of guy, he makes straight people really sit up and take notice. I mean, they got to engage this guy. Now, that's a guy worthy of an award. I ain't seen one around here lately. I don't know what the GLAAD Award looks like. I shudder to think. I'm kidding. What is it, a cowgirl? I'm just joking. I don't know. Is it some chick named Stevie who repairs jet skis? Just joking around, Stevie. I know you're out there in the Colorado River. We love you, babe. What are you up to now? You benching, what, 250? Anyway, I'm sure that's the GLAAD Award. And now you get the Stevie Award. There she is in a tank top, and she's repairing someone's outboard. No, we don't get that, because they ain't going to go there. So guess what happens today? Did you hear about this? NBC's The Will and Grace Show calls, and they want a tape of the show. Because they want to hear if we, what, slandered somebody or libeled somebody something? Now, I don't know if you guys know this or not. The producers of Will and Grace are involved in some lawsuit with the network. So maybe they're in a litigious frame of mind. I don't know. But we basically, what they were told was, you know, bug off. Well, we want to hear if they, well, you're not going to get a tape. Well, we want to know if we were slandered or libeled. Well, yeah, fine. You're not getting a tape. You want a tape? Subpoena us. Want to sue me? Sue me. Go get a lawyer and have him subpoena the tape. Then he'll listen to it, and then you're going to look like a couple of jackasses. You'll look about as lame as your TV show does. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be cruel, but do something other than sue somebody, huh? Get something on a TV that people are going to laugh at or with or anything. I hear that Apprentice is great. Score one for those guys there. That one with Donald Trump and some kid that wants to learn how to be oily. I mean, how to be a good businessman, too. I hear that's great. Fear Factor, that has elevated television. I can't tell you how proud I am of NBC for Fear Factor. People eating bugs. It's great, man. Hey, when are you going to have them, like, just put their mouths right at a cow's anus and eat what comes out? I think that that's the Fear Factor. What's wrong with that? Tonight on Fear Factor, people will conquer their unreasonable, ridiculous fear of eating cow crap. Okay, we got a really good one for you guys tonight. Really? What do I have to do? See that bull's penis? I'm telling you, man, it's solid stuff. To quote the great Chris Rock, who needs to write jokes? Just have somebody drink a turd out of a soup bowl. I'll never forget when Chris Rock said, he's right, man, imagine we were wasting all this time writing jokes. All you gotta do is have a guy do something like that. According to my good friend Ms. Ngaro, the young Miss Ngaro from British Columbia, the executive producers of Will and Grace have sued NBC and its production studio, alleging the network conspired to keep the sitcom's price down to reduce the producer's share of the profits, blah, 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 blah. Good for you guys, man. I hope you win. Be calling me up and asking for a tape of my show, my man. Look, you know how long I've been around? Too long. You know how many people have called up wanting tapes of shows? Got a new... Hey, you want the show? Go to my website. Seriously, it's on my archives, 30-day archive, but it's going to cost you $6.95. Ouch! Get a backstage pass, baby, you'll love it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's Phil Henry's show. You know what I was telling you last night about the girl in Colorado who is alleged to have been raped? Well, there's more stuff pouring out now. They had a front-page deal on it today. Colorado is in big, big, big trouble. University of Colorado, serious-ass trouble. As a matter of fact, they have appointed someone to run the athletic department. They don't even trust their athletic director there. They sure as hell don't trust their coach. And the entire thing is going right down the crapper, my man. This girl, a former ball player there on the University of Colorado, alleges that she was raped. There have been allegations of sexual misconduct. You see, here's the point I was trying to make last night. You don't have to be a sports fan to appreciate this. By the way, I have to take a sip of Coke because I'm high on Dexedrine right now. Now then, I'm kidding about the Dexedrine thing. But it wasn't a sip of Coke either. We're not stupid. Or maybe we are, but let's just say we're not. Every year it's the same thing. This ball player was caught smoking dope. I'm talking about college students now. I'm talking about college programs. Forget the pros. We've ripped the pros an ass from here to the East Coast, man. We don't need to talk about them tonight. Let's talk about college ball. Every year it's the same thing. This guy, sexual assault. That guy, physical assault. Another guy, handgun. This guy with a gun. This thing with the sexual assault of other students. This thing over here, that thing over here, this thing over here. And people say, well, the University of Colorado program is bad, or the University of Washington program is bad. The whole system is befouled, my friends. The whole anachronistic, tired, funky, foul system is rotten to the core, baby, like Krabby Appleton. Remember him? Rotten to the freaking core. The whole college athletic system, along with its client, the National Football League, is a sick, twisted pit of cess, as in cesspit. It ain't about Arizona this or Notre Dame that or something else. The whole addiction to college sports is making me want to pitch my freaking lunch up. And breakfast, too. I'm so sick of that. I don't mind watching the ball game. This is a college. A college. You know what a college is, don't you? That's where you go to learn. That's a place where you, the mind is edified, where people learn to read and write and learn and expand their thinking. And we got these slobs that are playing college football now that are getting away with this stuff. It's one thing the pros do it, okay? I can dig this. I mean, the pros, they're enabled in their behavior by the National Football League Commissioner's Office. Every disgusting, twisted criminal act perpetrated by a National Football League player is enabled by the team that he plays for and the jackass agent that he's got and that dumbass they got for a commissioner in that league, okay? But now let's talk about college. Let's talk about where you send your kids so that they can rise above the sewer of the world and somehow make this place a better place to live. And the football players are tolerated in their behavior. The football players, tolerated the behavior, encouraged by sports writers, protected by the administration, protected by the athletic director. I mean, these punks are right out of some scumbucket ghetto in East St. Louis or South Central or the Bronx or some toilet bowl, and they happen to run with a football real good. They get down to a place like a college university. For some of these guys, going to a college campus is like me going to a place that restores hair. I mean, it's like me growing hair. It's a whole new experience, man. It's a cosmic thing, baby. These guys get on a college campus, and the next thing, they're raping women. And guess what happens? You don't think there's justice, do you? Do you think these guys actually go to jail? Let me tell you something. These guys can take a woman into a dorm room. It happened. It happened right over here at USC. If you think I'm making it up, it happened right over here at the University of Southern California. A woman can claim to be she's assaulted by a couple of members of the football team, and the next thing that happens is they scurry into cover-up mode. The athletic department scurries into, we got to protect the ass of this big, dumb, stupid jackass that plays football for us, lest he be incarcerated, and we miss out on going to the Rose Bowl. And all that money. Now, the saddest aspect of all of this is the following. Teams that win championships, for some reason, they get a high level of applicants the next year. My son is interested in going to Syracuse. My son's very enamored of Syracuse University. Guess what? They've had 33,000 applicants. You want to know why? They won the NC2A title last year. Can somebody tell me what that's got to do with the level of education they provide? But some dumbbell sends his kid there because, hey, they won at basketball. So they point to the athletic program, sports writers are the guys that lead the charge in this one, as the cash cow. Oh, yeah, you make fun of it, Mr. Henry, but you know the money that we make? You know the kind of jack that this thing brings in? Yeah, it's easy for you to say, pal. Well, maybe it's time you guys start tightening the belt a little bit. Maybe you ought to get by on less bread. How much freaking money does it cost anyway? You're paying, I'll tell you one thing, the great Jaime Escalante said it, you're paying the college professors way too much and the kindergarten teachers not enough. You ought to flip the scale. Maybe you guys ought to get rid of your football programs and just get back to educating people, okay? Because your football programs are a disgrace, and I don't care how many bowl games you won. And that, you know, the University of Miami, I lived in Miami for about 3-4 years, and I thought I wanted to just vomit different colors of liver bile listening to them talk about their bloody football program. And they had the worst collection of criminals, rapists, and thugs. Ray Lewis leading the charge, who's now with the Baltimore Ravens. I hope you freaking break a knee. All they talk about, I still don't know what Miami does other than play football. Do you? What do they do down there? It's a university, so I know they must pay teachers. And you go there to do what? The only thing I know about the University of Miami is they play football. I don't know if they could turn out a guy that can work a freaking block. I don't know if they could turn out a guy that could have put a square block in a square hole. What do you get a degree in down there? Coloring book? Crayons? I seriously. And you look at the dumbasses that play on their football team down there. They're on their way to practice with coloring books and crayons. Because, you know, when there's no film class, they got to have something to do. Isn't that right, all you University of Miami Hurricanes? You dumbasses take crayons and coloring books everywhere you go. And that's you too at the University of Colorado, and probably a lot of you clowns at SC and UCLA too. What the hell is going on, folks? I'll tell you what's going on. We let it happen, all right? And I'm far past the point where I talk to the fans and say, you know what we all need to do is get ourselves a fan revolt. We need to strike. No. No, man, I've been around the block too many times for that. No, I ain't going to do that anymore. I'm going right after these guys. I ain't going to strike Jack. I'll go watch the ball games because they're entertaining. But when it comes to those players, I know exactly what I'm dealing with. Some freaking guys that are sitting there, and they've got like a glass, and they're turning it upside down and looking at how neat the light looks coming through the prism. Those guys will walk into a Denny's and just hold the glass up to the sun and go, hey, look at that, man. It's like a rainbow. We got to go? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sandler coming up and Larry Grover. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back, I think.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know whether the University of Colorado stuff is for real or not. The girl who has made the, and I say girl, she was a young lady, Katie Nita, made the allegation in an upcoming issue of Sports Illustrated. She says she wanted to come forward now because the school's other problems coming up. But when it happened, apparently she did not go to the police. She said that a member of the team started to kiss her. She said, that's okay. You know, that's not okay. Stop. Next thing I know, he's on top of me. No. Get off of me, you dumbass. Apparently, the phone rings. Dumbbell goes to answer the phone. She slips out and splits. Her claims are the newest addition to a growing list of allegations against the program at good old CU. Old CU. Have you ever been to NT? It's a technical school. Okay. I just wanted to know. Now, apparently she talked to her father. Now, the reason why I say I don't know whether this stuff is true or not, because the father said he went and he talked to the coach, some dumbass by the name of Barnett. Gary Barnett? He said it was like talking to a brick wall. Well, I don't know what, I don't know what that means. Like talking to a brick wall. In other words, if your daughter is sexually assaulted, you know, first of all, I don't think it's the brightest thing in the world to go talk to a coach. I think what I do is I talk to a cop. But let's say you go and talk to the coach. Brick wall, huh? Look, folks, I'm not a big man. I'm a relatively small man, and I'm really a coward. I'm really a gutless wonder. I like to keep to myself. Sip very small sampler shots of tequila, and just try to stay out of the way of the world. But my daughter is attacked, is sexually assaulted, and I go to a coach, and he'd rather pick his nose and look through his playbook? He'd be eating that freaking playbook. He'd be crapping playbook by tomorrow morning. Just pages and pages of offensive schemes coming out of his ass by the time I got done with him. Can't be bothered, huh? My daughter was sexually assaulted. Well, I don't know anything about it. Well, you better start getting clued in on it, Jim, because you know what? The way I'm feeling right now, you're going to wear that desk, that hair, that chair, ever. You're going to be wearing it, man. You're going to be wearing my freaking car. Oh, I think you're pretty tough, huh? No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I'm scared of big guys. But when it comes to my kid, I'm freaking King Kong. I'm Superman. I don't care if you're 6'8" and 280 million pounds. Most of it's fat anyway. But he didn't do that, so that's why I'm thinking there might be something suspect about her story. The fact is, though, Colorado University's got more problems than this lady's story. Up there, Rocky Mountain High, huh? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler coming up and Larry Grover. Dr. Sadler to talk about the Traditional Male Values Coalition. It's sweeping the nation. Guys who, you know, one in three men beats or physically abuses his wife. That is a significant number, and if that many men are doing it, isn't it time to decriminalize beating your wife? That's not my opinion. That's Dr. Sadler's, and he's a twisted old fruit. Also coming up, Larry Grover. When women get divorced, they immediately start making fools of themselves, running around and having sex with younger men. So anyway, he'll talk about that. That's what his ex-wife's doing. And Larry is saying she's just making a fool out of herself as he goes to sleep on the cot on his mother's service porch. 1-800-449-8686, the number here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, there's a priest down here in Phoenix. He's a bishop, Thomas O'Brien. He was convicted of hit and run on Tuesday for leaving the scene after killing a jaywalking pedestrian with his car, a crash that ended his career as head of the Roman Catholic Diocese. Now, I read this story, and you may be familiar with it, and there were two sort of divergent paths that I wanted to go down reading this. On the one hand, you got this jaywalker, and it was a man, I don't mean to disrespect a man who's dead, but apparently he was inebriated. The jaywalker was staggering more. He was like Jay staggering as he wandered across a busy boulevard, hammered. Now, ain't it? Am I wrong, or isn't it okay to hit a jaywalker? Isn't it okay? It's against the law to jaywalk, and if you nail the guy, it's fine. That's why, I don't know about you guys, but I relax by aiming for people like that. You know, this is a true story. If you've ever been to Paris, and I feel really sorry for you if you have, you'll notice that the motorists in Paris think it's really funny, especially the guys on motorcycles, to try to hit you if you're walking across a red light. I mean, in every American city, major cities, everybody walks across a red light. Everybody, San Francisco, New York, L.A., red, if it's room. Well, not so much L.A., because this place is a little, you know, we're a little farmer-like here. But in most big cities, people, a red light and there's no traffic, walk across the red light. They do it in New York, everywhere. In Paris, if a guy's on a motorcycle and he sees you, he'll aim for you. Some guy tried to kill me one night, and I mean kill me. As I was going across the street, I saw this guy coming down the street on one of those little gay-ass mopeds they drive over there. Excuse me for using the term in that way, but my French friends will know what I mean. And the guy started, he's aiming for me, right? I got up on the curb just in time as the guy swept by me. And my wife was there. She couldn't believe it. I said, you know how handy a Louisville Slugger would have come in? Seriously, no. As the guy went by, I just take... You know, I just get into kind of a step into it, swing, as the guy's head goes by, and just, it's gone! Over the Eiffel Tower, the guy's head. And some cat standing there going, eh, monsieur, so good, bon appétit. Anyway, or whatever them cats say. So, this guy's jaywalking, he gets nailed by the priest. The big mistake the priest made was leaving the scene. Now, why did he leave the scene? Why would a priest of God... A man who is charged with the last rites, a guy who could have parked, gotten out, given the guy his last rites, got in and gotten home in time for 60 minutes or whatever he's going home to do. Why wouldn't he have stopped? The priest says he didn't know what he hit. He didn't know if it was a human, if it was a dog, if it was a sack of laundry, he didn't know. He knows that it hit his windshield hard enough to crack the thing. And so he just... continued on home. And the guy says to him, Father, why is the windshield cracked? He says, I don't know, it was a dog or something, I nailed it. A dog? Yeah, well, the police are here, because the cops were looking for the car. They saw the car. The guy, well, what? You know you hit a man? I have no idea. You have no idea. I thought it was a sack of laundry. Laundry? What's going to smash your freaking windshield, you dumb freaking Irish priest? I'm not Irish, all right? O'Brien? Well, I was married once. And his name was O'Brien. And so the guy apparently tried to get the windshield fixed, even after he knew the police were looking for the car. Then he tried to, I guess the guy was just brain dead because they came home and they said, and it was probably somebody with that urgent look and wearing the Mother Goose shoes going, Father, there was a call from the police station. They say you killed a man, Father. Oh, I couldn't give a sweet Jesus. And he collapses onto a couch in his study, reeking of Johnny Black. Now, many years ago, I happen to know what it's like. It's a frightening thing. But I can't imagine leaving the scene of an accident because I was driving with my girlfriend in Huntington Beach years ago. I was like 19 years old. And I was driving down the big boulevard there in Huntington Beach. I forget what it's called. Beach. I think I was going down Beach Boulevard. And I'm sailing along in my little Volkswagen, and there we are, a happy little couple of 19 and 18 years of age. It's 1970. I'm sure I have some form of shoulder-length hair, and she's got some flower sticking out of her ass or something, and we probably just drank a big bottle of red wine. I don't know. And we're sailing along, listening to Who's Next, and the next thing I see as I get across the intersection, off of the cement divider, steps a woman. Almost into the path of my car, and it's one of those things where you don't even know that you saw what you saw, but you did see it. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the body reacts before the conscious mind is aware of it. But I turned the wheel just enough that her hand hit the side mirror on my car. And I saw this, I turned around, and I looked over at my girlfriend, her name was Margaret, and I said, tell me that light was green, bitch. I didn't say bitch. I did not say that. We didn't say that in those days. I said, tell me, Margaret, that that light was green. Please tell me. And she said, yes, it was green. Because I was afraid that I'd run a red light. And you don't know that when something happens like that, you immediately assume you did something wrong. Okay, what did I do? I hit a human being. I must have done, what did I do? Was it the right away? What happened? And I said, please, was the light green? She goes, the light was green, yes. So what we did was we slowed up, stopped, turned around, and went back. And there was a girl sitting on the curb. And I came over and said, are you okay? And she said, you're fine. You know, she said, I'm fine. Don't worry, you guys. I said, because I just caught you out of the corner of my eyes. You came out. She says, no, I'm fine. Is your hand okay? No, no, I'm okay. I mean, obviously, she, you know, was not exactly, shall we say, maybe her mood was altered a little bit. But, there could have been a cannabis kind of a situation going on. But I remember saying, tell me it's green. Yes. Because if she said it was red, I would have floored it. And gotten out of the area as fast as I could. All right, 1-800-449-8686. PHS at PhilHenryShow.com is our email address. And don't forget the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. And man, is it dead. You can buy it online or you can call us at 1-877-616-7445, baby. 877-616-7445. And get the Best of the Phil Henry Show, The Death of Talk Radio, and every nickel of the proceeds. I'm not talking about a percentage of the proceeds. I ain't talking about 5% here. All of it goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. All right, we'll be back. Coming up, Larry Grover and Dr. Jim Sadler, and we'll be hearing from Bobby Dooley on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now for our political news on the Phil Henry Show. You ain't going to believe this. You're going to love this. You're going to die laughing when you hear this. A bunch of our ex-governors here in California got together for some roundtable discussion, right? And when I say ex-governors, we had Governor Duke Magian, Governor Wilson, covering the 80s on up. Jerry Brown was there. So it was Brown, Wilson, Duke Magian. Who's the guy just ahead of Schwartz? Oh, Gray Davis, who is the point of what I want to say. And Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger, Republican, Gray Davis, and Jerry Brown, Democrat, and the rest of those cats, Wilson, Duke Magian, and somebody I'm forgetting. I don't know. Republican. But get a load of this. Wilson and Duke Magian said, you know what, Gray Davis, my very good friend, Mr. Davis, was victimized by the worst legislature this state has ever had. The guy tried to play it down the middle, but they kept pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. He blamed the problem. These are two Republican governors now. Wilson and Duke Magian blamed the problems for the state of California on the legislature, and that Gray Davis was victimized by the legislature and was, quite frankly, not a party to the problems the state had, but was, in point of fact, trying to pull everybody together to get the problem solved. So, hey, all you folks that had him recalled, guess what? Duke Majan and Wilson think you're a bunch of dumbasses. Good job, California, once again. Now, I said this to you guys. Nah, nobody wants to believe me because I'm just the guy that does the funny voices, right? Yeah. Okay. How do you like that? Wilson and Duke Majan both said, it's a sad, sorry thing what they did to a good man like Gray Davis. The legislature is the real problem in the state of California. And then they went on to say, but the real nimrods and farmers that vote in this state who couldn't find their ass with both hands, they didn't say that. I'm kidding. But they might as well have. And even the guy that wrote the article said, boy, he sure could have used those words before the freaking recall election. But let's, you know, I mean, we all got to swim in the same water, right, boys? Let's not forget which side of the bread the butter's on. Yeah, I'd love to save you, old Gray, but yeah, I ain't going to say nothing before the election, man. I only got a Republican in there, okay, even though it ain't your fault. And the Schwarzenegger's probably going to be up against the same stuff. As a matter of fact, that's what I read today in the L.A. Times. Yes, that's right. Occasionally, I do read the L.A. Times, man. When it's raining outside, my wife and kids aren't around, and the cat is asleep, and there's nothing to do. Then occasionally I'll read an article in the New York, did I say L.A. Times? I meant to say New York Times. Sorry, L.A. That's how much credibility your paper's got would be. I'd rather read the New York Times where everything's fabricated. Everything's made up. So they write this, are you loving that? I couldn't believe my eyes, man. And meanwhile, John Kerry is stepping up his attacks on George Bush. I got a prediction for you guys, and if I'm wrong, I'll eat another sports section from any paper you want to wish. I'm gonna tell you this right now, though. Kerry, everybody's in love with this guy because he appears to be compassionately involved in the job situation and in getting new jobs going, so on and so forth. John Kerry's going to inherit, if he's elected, an economy that is going to be rebounding. If George Bush gets reelected, he'll be inheriting an economy that's rebounding. So you say, okay, what you're saying then, Phil, is if the economy's doing good, Kerry's going to get credit for something that he shouldn't have gotten credit for. Well, yeah, I suppose. I mean, Bush will be getting credit for something he shouldn't get credit for because the economy ain't got nothing to do with Bush either. So six of one, half a dozen of the other, baby. And here's one other little shocking piece of news for you. John Kerry ain't going to do nothing about us in Iraq. He's going to keep our asses there and he's going to follow right along the game plan that Bush laid out. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, I might have been born at night. It wasn't last night. And these guys, when they get into office, they stay the freaking course when it comes to foreign policy. Nixon didn't do anything different from Johnson, except he stepped up the bombing. And Kerry is probably going to do the same thing, man. For all those experiences he had in Vietnam, I bet you he knows how to kill a bunch of gooks real good. Oh, excuse me, I mean ragheads. Well, whatever. Kerry ain't going to change diddly squat. Now he made the speech about how Bush is not paying attention to the firefighters and to the police. And it's a good point. Bush doesn't have anything in his agenda about having to do with police or firefighters or pay or this kind of thing. But then he's a Republican. Generally, they don't have really a lot to do in their agendas to say about getting people more money in their jobs. But I'll tell you this much. Very few presidents... You got to hear this, guys. This because you know. I don't care personally, but you got to hear this. Very few presidents have ever experienced in office and had to deal with in office what Bush did on September the 11th. Now, who else can you think of? You can talk about Roosevelt and Pearl Harbor. You can talk about the toughest days for Wilson and World War One. You can talk about Lincoln if you want to. It's not a lot of guys, not a lot of guys at all, that suddenly the world came crashing down around them and they had to think on their feet and they had to do something. Protect the country. There was a fear that things were going awry, right? Very few. It's real easy to come in and Monday morning quarterback that situation. And this is the reason why I've got such a suspicion about, even speaking as a Democrat, why I got a suspicion about Kerry and the rest of these numbskulls, because they all want to jump on the bandwagon, baby, and start telling you how to do this thing after you did it. You know, you're working from reflex. You're getting advice. You don't know what's going on. You think maybe everything's going to hell in a handcart. You think, remember when they thought that Cheney was going to get killed? They didn't know what the hell was going on. Anthrax was showing up in the mail. The Coast Guard was on alert. We had jets flying over our cities. Every American was scared to death. And you're dealing with all of this. You're also trying to keep the American people from panicking and jumping out of windows. So you got to get on TV. Live your life. Everything's okay. It's going to be fine. How many presidents have had to deal with that? So along comes this guy, Kerry, who looks like something out of a freaking funeral parlor, and this kid, Edwards, who's bucking for John Kennedy the 18th. And these guys, they're going to put it all together again, huh? Well, I got big news for you. Those two guys together couldn't come up with one bathtub fart. They ain't going to change anything having to do with our foreign policy or our military policy. And as far as the domestic policy is concerned, they'll jack some taxes here and they'll jack some taxes there, which they probably should do to sort of spread the money around a little bit. The economy will continue on its recovery pace, and they'll say it's because they jacked the taxes. Just like Bush will say, it's because he cut taxes. It ain't because of either reason, man. You want to know why? More than anything else, we've been able to rebound from this so-called recession, depression, because the interest rates have been so freaking low. Cats have been buying houses, man, like they're selling hot tamales on the corner. People are buying houses faster than they're buying nail clippers, faster than they're pulling out nose hairs. That puts people to work. People go for mortgages and they refinance. It's a lot of money moving around. Because you got a guy named Alan Greenspan. You want to know who ought to be president? That guy. You think anybody gets this? Nah, they don't get it. Let's turn on the University of Colorado, man, see what kind of football team they got this year. Oh, well. Sorry I yelled. My cat won't listen to it, so I have to come here and say it to you. Everybody's been out of town. All right, now listen, guys, I want to tell you something. Ash Wednesday's coming up, and what better gift to give than the Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue set? That's right. Get a great Ash Wednesday present by getting the Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue set out to the one you love, and we ship. I think we do, anyway. Like those companies that send out those dates and fruit and everything, we do that. Only we do it with, like, Ted's of Beverly Hills stuff. So go to our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com and get that barbecue set and backstage. Anything you can buy, just buy it, please. All right? Coming up is Dr. Jim Sadler, head of the Traditional Male Values Coalition. Should we decriminalize beating your wife? He'll be talking about that coming up. I didn't mean to laugh at that. Somebody tickled me.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Henry Show brought to you by Gum Out. One bottle helps clean out harmful deposits and can restore your car's lost performance. That's good, clean driving.
And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jim Sadler is going to be with us here in just a second on the Phil Hendry Show. He's with a group called Traditional Male Values Coalition, and I've heard a lot of organizations called Traditional Values. We welcome Dr. Sadler on our program. What is different about your organization?
Well, Phil, I think there's a lot that's different about our organization. We try to think creatively, and we try to move traditional values along a male perspective to help society in general. And for the most part, that's what we're about.
Tell me about your initiative here in terms of the decriminalization of domestic abuse.
Well, first of all, I want to say that there is nothing more abhorrent, in my opinion, than a man assaulting a woman. And I don't want it to appear as if we endorse it. But I want to give you a statistic, and I want all open-minded people in your audience to consider this statistic. It is perceived that some 50 to 60 million Americans smoke marijuana. We have a population of some 250, 300, almost 300 million people. That's a percentage of, well, it's less than 50%, 20%, something like that, of people that smoke marijuana in this country. And as a result, there is serious consideration being given to decriminalizing marijuana. I want to give you another statistic now, which will help, I hope, people understand our point of view. One out of every three men physically discipline or corporally punish their wives. In the vernacular, one out of three men beat their wives. That is an enormous number of men. And I'm asking open-minded people to simply consider, is it not obvious that some homes hold fast to that tradition, that a man has the right in certain circumstances to take a stronger hand in the affairs of the home? See, we're just trying to make things make sense for all people, so that couples that practice this, and there's a growing number of them, will...
Well, all right, so your group believes that the, what you call corporal punishment of a woman or beating a woman, be legalized.
No, again...
Or decriminalized.
That's, I'm asking state legislatures to recognize that a man wanting to take a more active interest in his home is as prevalent and popular as people that smoke marijuana, also a so-called prohibited practice. But when a man smokes marijuana in our country, he gets a slap on the wrist. If a man, you know, disciplines his...
Well, using the word disciplines his wife, some men are beating their wives up through anger. And...
Well, I want to move past the judgment phase, and let's just talk about the raw numbers. If you look at the raw numbers, you see in the raw numbers one out of every three, and these men are sent to jail. So the phenomenon is one that we recognize, and everybody's doing it. You know, everybody's doing it, and so it becomes a part of the culture.
Well, you're asking to somehow soften society's view of men abusing women, men beating...
No, I want it. One out of every three American men discipline their wives, and so many couples are doing it. It becomes a part of America, and the repressive laws that keep it illegal need to be, if you will, leavened or lightened.
All right, now you said something. What do you mean couples are doing it?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean when you say couples are doing it?
I don't understand your question.
You say one out of every three men beat their wives, so many couples are doing it. What does that mean?
Well, I don't think that something as widespread as this could possibly exist without... on some level, the tacit approval of the women involved. I mean, I'm not...
No, Dr. Sadler, are you trying...
No, but I'm not saying they enjoy it. The women realize that there may be a need. Again, one out of every three couples allow the man to beat the wife in the marriage. That's a number that can't be ignored. And so decriminalizing so-called domestic violence is needed.
The tacit approval of the woman?
Well, how else is this so... Women, on some level, may recognize they need it. Society evolves, and this practice of a man having a stronger hand is essentially part of the country's evolution.
All right, I want to give our number out, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If you just joined us, we're talking to Dr. Jim Sadler from the Traditional Male Values Coalition on decriminalizing domestic violence. There are, Dr. Sadler, you said something that I found interesting. You said men physically punishing women may be needed.
Well, no, I don't know what I mean. I just know what society is saying. I can certainly, in my experience, but look, here's a statistic that is undeniable. In every marriage, the man either has or will, you know, slap his wife or beat her up or something. It's just, it's a fact. And you know,
in every marriage, a man either has or will physically abuse his wife?
It's a fact. And
well, I can tell you I've never abused my wife.
I understand that you love your wife, I'm sure, but there will come a time when, you know, to get her to shut up or she, you know, you'll slap her. It's not always premeditated. It is reactive. It's like blinking the eye or or knowing a stove is too hot.
Look, at the message you're sending to thousands of young men and women is that it's inevitable that physical violence will be part of their lives when they get married, so we need as a society to decriminalize domestic violence. And so the young men go into the marriage...
You're thinking too hard about it, Phil. You're thinking way too hard.
No, wait a minute. You're saying that a young man goes into a marriage... Well, it's inevitable I'm going to hit my wife.
No, you're overthinking the problem. You're way overthinking the problem. Believe me, I've taught college classes. All I'm saying is, it doesn't mean you're going to beat her up and leave her body in the ditch. It means that you're going to, someday she'll say something stupid and you'll want to slap. If I could give you a...
Well, look at my wife, I can assure you, in our marriage has said stupid things. I have never yet hit my wife.
Not yet. You know what we say, and I did a lot of drug counseling in my time. We say, you're not addicted yet. You keep fooling around with marijuana or what have you, you're not addicted yet. I want to give you an example. You use the term physical violence. I love my wife. Almost more than life itself. She's a good deal younger than me, but Tracy has reinvigorated my life. So when I see her, for instance, as I did at a wedding reception we were at recently, dancing rather provocatively with one of the food servers, it's an instinct. And we got to the car, and it was my instinct to slap her, I did it away from everyone, so she wasn't embarrassed. And it's a traditional way that couples have of relating to each other. And
are you saying it's that you slapped your wife?
I'm not saying I'm proud of it. I'm saying it happens. And it is very traditional. Again, we are the traditional male values coalition. It's traditional to
slap your wife if she was dancing provocatively with a food server at a wedding reception.
You know, you're overthinking the problem, and I want to caution, don't overthink. Just consider that there's a lot, everybody's doing it.
Well, everybody may be doing it, sir, but I don't want to hit my wife.
You don't want to, none of us want to, but what are you going to do when she says something dumb, or you see her, as I saw my wife, who's 23 years of age, and I'm 51. So it's going to tighten, you know, my jaws a little bit to see her, rubbing it up against a kid in a black vest who's got a tray that he's taken to get washed. See, we're overreacting to a man slapping a woman like we overreact to marijuana. I mean, years ago, we thought that marijuana was the next step to heroin. It turned out it wasn't. Just like slapping a woman is what it is. It's not the next step to dismembering her. Murder or anything else.
All right, I
just don't overthink. As a college professor, I've taught a lot of class. Don't overthink the problem.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler joins us. Decriminalizing domestic violence so that a man doesn't go to prison for a long time because he slapped his wife, because one in three men physically abuse their wives, and in point of fact, according to the doctor, there's two kinds of men. Those that have slap their wives, those that will slap their wives, and so why not decriminalize it? And he mentioned he saw his much younger wife, a woman by the name of Tracy, dancing at a wedding reception with one of the waiters, provocatively, and he slapped her when they got to the car. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jim Sadler is with us from a traditional male values. What do you mean traditional values, male values coalition? What has that got to do with physically abusing a woman or physically assaulting a woman?
Well, first of all, Phil, you have to get rid of the idea that it is physical abuse. there is a tradition in America of a man taking a stronger hand in the home. That has been twisted by a lot of men and turned into physical violence.
You're saying the occasional slap to a woman is an acceptable thing?
It is a traditional thing. It is one engaged in, as I said, and again, you can't hide from the numbers. One out of every three men feel the need to discipline their wives, and yet those men go to jail. Far more people smoke marijuana in this country, and it's simply decriminalized, and they get a slap on the wrist. And I think a slap on the wrist is far, far, far more of an insult than... And we have a special support group for women, and this is a tough one to say, to get them to understand that at times... They, you know, let me put it in. They piss you off so much, you just want to slap them.
Anger is anger, but wanting to reach over and slap a woman because you're pissed off at her because she was dancing.
I'm just saying. Teaching women not to open their big mind. You know, I don't know what to say, but they just.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler, if women would just learn how to speak more respectfully, there wouldn't be the physical abuse in homes. Sally, go ahead.
First of all, I just want to say that this so-called doctor has no clue about what a marriage is supposed to be all about.
I've been married.
I'm sorry,
I've been married
three times. A man, well, obviously you have a problem with it. A man and a wife,
uh-huh.
To make a marriage work, you have to work out your differences. And
absolutely,
for a man to feel that he is superior to so-called discipline his wife, excuse me, sir, but my husband respects me so much that we sit down and we talk out. I might say something stupid, but you know what? He might say something stupid before I do. And when I've corrected him when he has said something stupid, it's only because he was not brought up to understand that, hey, you know what? You've got an odd way of looking at circumstances.
But the situation is, Sally, one out of every three American men.
Your statistics suck.
Well,
I don't know where you get your statistics.
You can read it.
You know, comparing it to marijuana users is really a really lame.
Institute.
That's a lame. You are so lame.
Okay.
I cannot believe
lame.
How lame you are, and you even are on this talk
show. Marriage is based on mutual respect for each other. I don't feel superior to my wife. This is a hipper way of communicating with her. And, marijuana use is far more prevalent, and yet they decriminalize
so what?
That.
It has no comparison to the
issue. Why do you... I want to ask you something, Dr. Sadler.
What your issue is no comparison to smoking a joint. Slapping your wife because she says something that you think is stupid? You want to make that something that is okay?
Can I mention something to you? The way you're talking right now and the way you sound right now, I would want to slap you. I would want to slap you, and I would want to hit you.
Well, you're such an ignorant fool.
I want to jump in here. This is Phil. This woman is expressing forcefully her opinion. Why does that mean she gets to be slapped?
Exactly.
She's called me lame. She's called me an ignorant fool.
Thank you.
She's disrespected me and tried to emasculate me in front of millions of American women.
Instead of understanding my point of view, you want to call me ignorant.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. What?
Instead of respecting me as a person to have a point of view, you want to call me stupid?
You're irritating me with it. You are a fool. Oh, Jesus.
Wait a minute.
Sorry.
Now your anger is getting to you, Dr. Sadler.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we have to find a way to keep marriages together.
And you call yourself a doctor?
We need to keep marriages together for the children's sake.
Where did you get your doctor?
And we found at the traditional, at a university, you should go to one someday. They're big buildings.
And you get counseling for drug abusers?
And they have people there. Yes. Did I meet you there? Anyway.
Why are you being a smartass now?
Because she doesn't want to understand what I'm saying.
There's no understanding what you have to say.
Sally, thank you for your call, though. Good points. 1-800-449-8686. Andrea, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes.
And turn your radio down. Andrea, turn your radio down. Turn your radio down.
I think you have a problem that you have a younger woman.
I can't.
You're losing control and cannot satisfy that younger woman. So therefore,
we have to find a way to keep marriages together, especially for the children's sake.
Your purpose is, what you need to do is you need to find you a man. When you're feeling all of that anger and frustration and when you get mad, you find someone to pick up on your own age, your own size, and take that anger to a man if that is the problem you're having. I think it's a very small thing for an individual that has a degree.
Men don't piss me off the way women do, see?
For an individual to have a degree.
And I'm not attracted to
you to be on this radio spewing out the things that you're spewing out. Man, come on, be real. This is 2000.
I'm not saying
women
it's okay.
Women are not caged here for you if you lose your temper for you to put your hands on.
Well, can
that
I ask you?
That is abuse.
How many men have you been with who've wanted to just reach
I
over and smack you?
I am 41 years old. I am now in a 16-year relationship, and no, my husband has never placed his hand on me.
Right.
When he gets angry, we sit down and we talk about it.
Are you married or did you set a relationship?
I'm married.
Okay.
16 years strong. Not 2-3. And my
it's
husband
only
is 45. I didn't have to go out to find somebody 21, 22, 19 to satisfy my aggro.
It's only a matter of time before your husband hears you say something, you know, I'm sorry, dumb. And
no,
he's
it's
just
not a matter
say,
of time.
Man,
you know what? You're using it as an excuse. You are a weak individual.
Right.
And what you chose to do is to place your hands on a smaller individual.
Well, here's
but
my
you
point.
You take that anger and you put it up towards a man. If you got that much anger in you that you get
like
that frustrated with your wife, get you a boxing bag or find a man.
Well, ma'am,
that
the reason why
teach you something.
The reason why your husband hasn't hit you is because you sound like you could kick
you know
his
what?
Ass.
I tell you what. What your wife really needs to do, she needs to take something and crack you across your knees and give you a little bit of something which you're giving her.
All right, here I want to say something. This, Phil, the message you're sending, Dr. Sadler, to young married couples, especially to the young men, is it's okay.
No, I'm not. Ma'am, would you listen to this for just a second? Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Andrea?
Are you slapping your wife around?
That was a sound that if women got used to hearing it.
No, I haven't gotten used to hearing anything.
And,
That's only in your
Andrea,
life.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler from the Traditional Male Values Coalition. He said that the statistic is one out of every three men has or will physically strike his wife. And if that is the case, should we not decriminalize physical violence the way they have domestic abuse? Because in point of fact, it is a common thing. Now, you mentioned, I want to get to a phone call here, and I know you don't have a lot of time, Dr. Sadler.
Meeting right now, Phil, and so I can give you a few more minutes.
All right. Now, my question is this. You said that slapping, well, you know what? You've got a support group, right?
Yes, we do.
All right. The question is, are you telling women to expect this?
No. What we say is this. Sooner or later, and we communicate very well with women. We have female counselors on call 24 hours a day. And what we say to the women is basically this. Sooner or later in your marriage, you're going to say something, you know, stupid.
What do you mean stupid?
Well, I can't describe it, but any man that's been married, oh, honey, you know, what's that card? You know, I was playing poker one night, and what's that card do? What do you mean, what does that card do? It's a king of hearts. Well, she doesn't understand. You see what I...
And you're going to belt her for that?
No, I would not hit a woman for that. But there are some men who would, and I'm just simply saying, especially if they've had something to drink, you know, oh, are you watching, is this pro or college football? And the instinct is to just swing around with a backhand. But we teach women, if you can stop saying dumb stuff, the percentage rate of you getting slapped goes down.
Okay, 1-800-4... I don't know what you mean by dumb stuff.
Well, yes, you do, Mr. Henry. You're pandering to your female audience. You know, I've been listening to you. You're making me sick.
Well, you know what? I think I really do not understand you. Kim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Let me tell you something right now. I have been abused for 8 years by a man. All I can do is look at somebody the wrong way, and I get hit on.
But you didn't say anything stupid.
Excuse me.
That's all I'm asking.
What do you mean, saying something stupid? What's stupid to you? Having a black guy saying, looking at somebody or what?
Well, no, I'm saying...
Can't no woman say nothing stupid.
Were you looking at a man? You're not supposed... Are you married?
No, I'm not. I left him. I've been in domestic violence shelters. I've been running from this man for the last 2 years.
This is not... Dr. Sandler, you got to understand the women you're talking to.
No, well, I don't. I understand. That's terrible.
I don't like to be hit on. Don't no woman like to be hit on. Whether she say, look, turn the channel from your favorite show, that don't mean she want to get hit.
Of course not. But if you say
But that's the way you talking.
No. Like, did he ask for the hammer?
It ain't about what he asked for.
Well, if he
it's
asked,
equal rights now. It's
right.
Not about nobody getting hit.
No, but what I'm saying is if he asked you for the hammer, you gave him a screwdriver, isn't that dumb?
Wait a minute, hold up. How would you feel if a woman did that to you?
Did what? You slapped me because I said something dumb?
Yeah.
But it's not in the Bible.
No, you can't even answer that.
It's not in the Bible.
It's not right for a man to hit no woman, just like it's not right for a woman to hit no man.
Well,
I don't believe in nothing. I didn't ask to be hit.
Of course not.
Or my eyes black walking around here outside on the street,
Kim,
because I'm toe up.
Kim, you're in a domestic violence shelter?
I just got out of one.
I mean, Dr. Sandler, do you understand what you're dealing with here?
I ran to another state to get away.
There's these guys that won't leave these women alone.
Well, that's ridiculous. I'm talking about in a marriage. Like my wife one day.
Or not. You do not have the right to hit a woman.
Well, look, can I ask you a question? Did he ask for ice cream and you bought home sherbet? That's a very common reason for men to just go, oh, geez.
No, it's not. No,
wait a minute.
That is stupid. That is very stupid. The man is looking for a reason to hit her.
What do you mean, did he ask for ice cream?
I try to impress upon women, oh, man, don't do it. Don't do
you
it.
You have a bad way to look about. You're the type of man that they roll up in carpets and burn.
They wrap in a carpet and burn?
Right. You the type of people, they wait till they go to sleep and they do something to you. Because you putting your hand on a woman does not, it's not right.
Look, I want to ask you something, Dr. Sandler. What do you mean, ice cream and sherbet? This is mentioned in your book.
It started, Tracy, first of all, you asked me about my wife, Kim, and I'll tell you. Tracy would never hit me. She's 23. She's the light of my life. She's much younger than me.
It's not about how old she is. She's younger than you. This and that.
You
saying it's your wife.
I'm not saying that.
Bring the wrong thing home from the store don't want.
Exactly.
You don't hit her.
Well, no. I said to her, would you bring home some of the Ben and Jerry's? I like the Moose Tracks or what have you. A lot of people like different ice cream. She came home with Haagen-Dazs sherbet, and I looked at her and I said, okay, I'm going to let you off with a warning. And
I'll let you off with the yeah.
Oh, my God.
She said to me, honey, I need a slap because I ripped the screen door. Some women know they need it.
Well, those are the women that we're talking about who are sick. Those are the women that are codependent.
Oh, get out of here with codependent.
That's
You sound like some Kansas City fat.
You ain't never been hit by nobody, evidently. That when you get hit by somebody, that tears you up.
I've been hit, but I can't tell you the circumstance.
It don't matter what the circumstance is.
Well,
it didn't affect you in no kind of way.
Right.
It should have hit you harder than what they did.
All right, Kim, thank you for your call. I appreciate your call, and I know that it took a lot. That lady was in a domestic violence shelter.
Look, I understand she was in a domestic... What is it with you?
I'm trying to get you to understand, sir. What do you mean you've been hit and you liked it?
I'm not talking about sexual practice, and that's what, if she's talking about that. I'm talking about really hitting.
You mean as opposed to being spanked in a freaking S&M parlor?
Mr. Henry, don't talk about things you don't have any understanding of, please.
Let's go over to Jennifer. Jennifer, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Dr. Jim.
Yes, ma'am. Hello.
You made a comment that a marriage is based on respect. I haven't heard anything from you that was respectful. I'm 34 years old.
What did I do wrong? I'm answering the questions.
Okay, hold on. I'm 34. My husband is 60, so I can relate to the age difference between you and your wife. But I would have never gotten married to my husband if I wanted to rub up against a food server at a wedding. Her wife sounds very immature, and she doesn't respect you at all.
I didn't hear that, dear.
Everybody is not even working in your own home. Respect for you. And I can see why. Well,
let me jump in here. Jennifer, this is Phil. Your cell phone. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, your cell phone was fading in and out. Could you say that again?
No, you're going to make me listen to it again. Jesus.
Well, you heard it then you can respond to it.
Well, my response is, well, I didn't really hear it, but I don't.
Exactly. You don't hear anybody. You don't listen. Your wife doesn't respect you. Why would she treat you like that in public at a wedding if she had any respect for you? You talk about, you're preaching respect over here, or what you think is respect, and it's not even going on in your own home.
Well, Jennifer, let me say, first of all, you say you're 34. My wife's 23.
I heard that.
Right. So, you know, she's not like some battle axe that is...
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, this Jennifer is coming off like a truck driver or something. All I'm trying to say is...
I am a truck driver. What the hell has I got to do with it?
Well, when your husband... What, were you like a piece of ass or something?
Would you have some respect for these women?
That's another thing. The way he was responding to you...
I know.
Another caller, this guy is... What's your problem?
Dr. Sadler...
As immature as your wife.
Dr. Sadler... You cannot refer to my female callers as a piece of ass and this stuff like that, okay?
Well, she's talking about my wife. Look, Jennifer, if you haven't been slapped, you will. That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to warn you.
I don't need to get that from you. It's not going to happen. I know that. But what I'm saying
is... a cow don't make ham. You know what I'm saying?
Where's your respect in your own home? I can imagine how you speak to your wife.
Now here's how you're speaking to me right now. Look fine in your home. I can't understand.
All right, I'll monitor the calls. Thank you, Jennifer, very much. I'm sorry she had some good points, but she was on a cell phone.
And she was sounding stupid. And that's the one of the, that's right there, right there. That battle axe is one of the reasons.
And I don't like the term battle axe.
But that's why they get hit.
She came home with sherbet when you asked for moose tracks, huh?
Jesus, what a...
Let me go over to Debbie. Hi, Debbie. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler.
You know, Dr. Sadler, I have heard a lot of things in my...
My name's Dr. Sadler, not Dern Seidner, which is what you just
said. Whatever your name is.
Dr. Sadler. Jesus Christ. Are you drunk?
No. Mm. Listen, you know what? You are so impertinent and rude. Disrespectful to women in general.
I don't see how that's... I don't see how that's
disrespectful. I would like you to listen to me and shut up for a minute, okay?
I'd love to listen to you, but please don't characterize my comments. I'm trying to...
I don't have... I'm not the only one. I've never called a talk show in my life. But I've got to tell you that if you have a license, you should lose it. And there's no way they should legalize anything that you're even talking about. And... ice cream. I mean, you don't call or disrespect women and call them stupid. And I can tell you what, I have a hell of a lot more brain in me than you have in you. You couldn't even do the work I do. You are
a complete idiot.
I agree with every woman that's called you. You do not know what you're talking about.
Do you hear what the women are saying?
Not be used, period.
Tracy,
ever.
If my
and
wife...
disrespecting women...
I'm not...
Where do you get off disrespecting anybody and calling them what you called on this show tonight? You have no right in being on this show, and you know
I'll
what? I'm so
what?
Sorry for you.
If my wife came home as drunk as you are now,
I don't want to go to you.
I'd be forced to slap her.
What?
I said if my wife...
You'd be forced to slap her. You want to slap every woman that called your show tonight because you don't like to hear the truth.
No, but if my wife came home as drunk as you are now, I would.
Oh, for crying out loud, I'm not drunk.
Well, then you have some brain malady, because you started
malady? Well, you know what? You're talking to a professional RN who takes care of children with cancer every single day of her life.
Maybe you want to tell the doctor.
Who works her ass off. And I got to tell you something. You're an idiot.
Ma'am,
you have no right. I wish you didn't dwell on this earth. I've never heard anybody like you whatsoever.
You know, I don't believe you. You know, they always bring up the, oh, I'm a cancer nurse, just to try to get sympathy.
Oh,
maybe you
ought
to tell
him.
You know what? You should tell the bartender to ease off the heavy pour. Hey,
you
Bebby,
are a jerk.
Tell the bartender.
A plain and simple jerk.
Can I tell you how you sound? Hold your tongue.
I don't care how. You can tell me whatever you
look
want.
I got
to
jump in here.
It doesn't matter to me because you have the size of a pea brain, okay?
All right. I want to say something to you.
Are you a doctor or are you a child, sir?
I'm a doctor.
Then quit making fun of the way the lady talks. What a child.
She talks as if she's holding onto her tongue.
I'm talking on my cell phone. I've never called a talk show in my life, but you angered me so much that I had to make this phone call.
When your boyfriend slaps you for making chicken when he asks for pork chops, don't come crying to me.
4 years.
You know what, Mr. Henry? You and Debbie can go to the eternal Bunsen burner.
What? He hung up. Debbie?
Yes, I'm here.
He hung up.
He deserved to hang up.
All right, listen, there's nothing wrong with your voice as far as I can tell.
I'm supposedly drunk, and am I talking like stupid?
No,
or what?
I think at the very beginning your cell phone broke up, and it sounded like Dern Sneeder instead of Dr. Sadler. So I think that's all that was, but I appreciate
you. I never called talk shows, but
you have
just
nothing to apologize.
Something else.
Wait a second. Dr. Sadler, I do not put people back on who hang up.
I just want to ask Debbie, do you talk like that to the cancer people? Because they must be frightened.
All right, hang up on him.
They're children.
No, he's an idiot. Anyway, Debbie, thank you for your great service to our community.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. You know.
What a kiss-ass.
Bug off! You're talking like you're holding your tongue. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's worst nightmare. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up, Larry Grover is on. When women get divorced, they immediately start to make fools of themselves by having sex with younger men. Larry's ex-wife is running around with a younger guy, and he says she just looks silly. What's Larry doing? Well, he's working to get President Bush reelected. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And the recording industry has sued 531 more computer users from our news file. It said they were illegally distributing songs over the internet in what has become a routine reminder that college students, teenagers, and others can face expensive lawsuits for swapping music online. And I'm going to make the point that I made, ad nauseum over the last many months. Look, if you guys need another backstage meal of champagne and sushi, you're just going to have to dig in deeper to pay for it, because hijacking money out of music consumers with the overpriced dreck that you guys are putting out these days is a crime in and of itself. You cats ought to go to jail, not the people that are downloading music off the internet. If I told you once, I told you a million times. How many times I got to put this through your thick, fat heads? Your overpriced crap is not worth buying. You need to bring down the price. I buy a CD every now and again. Band I really like. I don't buy music the way I used to. I bought the AFI CD, but my kids hate it. I like AFI. My kids can't stand them. I love them. I bought Avenged Sevenfold, trying to get with the whole satanic metal thing. Frankly, it only has one good track on it. You know, that one song, I think it's called... I forget what it's called. The third cut on that album is great. The rest of it blows, you guys. What is it with you cats and that dude who tries to sound like Lucifer? Don't overdo it with the devil's thing, okay? Jesus H. These guys in that band are like, you know, that's cool every other track. You know, we get it, man. We get it, okay? You know, you're going to... The revolution's coming, baby. Satan's army is on the move. Yeah, I know. Just be a little... you know, I like metal. I like melodic. That's why Metallica is such a great band, okay? They actually write tunes. As opposed to you guys doing through... going through 900 different chord changes, 68 different kind of dual leads, a little bass solo here, a little drum magic there, throw in some totally incomprehensible lyrics about something, and then have a guy that can sound just like, you know, Linda Blair in The Exorcist, and do it on every track, and by the end of that album, you'll do with it what I did with it, throw it into the wash. Jesus. That one track I loved, man. So I bought the CD based on that, and the whole thing is just a worthless pile. And you know that I went over to Borders and they ordered it for me? I want to get Avenged Sevenfold. Yeah, really? Yeah, can I, you know, very well, it's hard to get. Well, it must be really popular. I get it, I put it on, you know, I'm listening to it, I'm trying to, this sucks. It just sucks. Of course, you're talking to a guy who went deaf after, like, his third ZZ Top concert, so I'm not sure what I heard. It might have just been, like, my engine shorting or something. PHS at PhilHenryShow.com. PHS at PhilHenryShow.com is our email address. Back with Larry Grover in a moment.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Larry Grover joins us, conservatives of Kern County, and you are in the midst of a hard fight, Larry. You're trying to get President Bush reelected, and it's been a long fight getting him elected and then reelected. And I know that you were in the middle of attempting to get President Clinton moved out of office. As a Democrat, as you know, I didn't agree with that.
Well, I think down to the use, Phil, you and I have had a contentious relationship, but at least a cordial one in terms of politics.
You have also signaled in a recent article I read that you wrote about your wife was a Democrat. Your wife took great exception to your Republican politics.
Oh, absolutely. It was the reason why we got divorced. I was very much involved in trying to help this country by getting a president who had disgraced the Oval Office by having sex in there. And my wife's a Democrat, was a Democrat. Kerry was a Democrat. And I think it's sad to see her now. We've been separated, divorced for 4 years. And now she's, I don't know how to, I'd love to say something to her, say how foolish she looks. She's going out with a guy now who's 10 years younger than her, who has, you know, basically is, you know, he's taking the girls around, my four daughters, they get to go to Disneyland and this kind of thing. And she, Kerry is throwing this in my face, to say, you know, she can't get over the fact that I'm a Republican and that we won the election in 2000. She's got to go out, date younger men, have them come to the house, take my girls camping. This one guy she's going out with, this guy John, my kids came over because I have visitation once a month, and they said John and Mom took us camping. John and Mom took us to the, they went to a volleyball tournament on the beach. And he's also coaching her basketball. These are all noble things. But he doesn't realize that he's being used by my wife to try to get me to be jealous because she hates the work that I've done on behalf of President Bush. And I tried to be a good husband, but it wasn't good enough for her. She was constantly on about sex, 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 which is a totally understandable consideration for a wife, but when you have a husband who is involved in watching the cable news channels as I was and writing letters to the Los Angeles Times to get published about Clinton and all of this, and you've got a wife that is on about sex, 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 and I finally said to her, you know what, you just don't, you Democrats don't get it. And it was then that she moved out, angry all the way that my Republican policy, politics, eventually helped us get a president elected.
All right. Is she right? Your wife, Carrie, is a Democrat.
That is correct.
And she's dating a younger guy, and this guy is good to your kids?
Yeah, he is good to the kids, but understand, the reason why he's good to the kids is that Carrie wants to throw into my face, look, I found a relationship. Look, I've got this guy. And look, the kids are happy. And look, I've moved on with my life. And she's trying to stick it to me because I happen to be a Republican. And she doesn't realize, as so many women don't, that she's making a fool out of herself. And for that, I feel very, very sorry.
All right, Larry Grover's with us. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Your wife was a Democrat. You're a Republican. She moved out because you were a Republican?
She moved out because I was heavily involved in the Republican.
Can I interrupt you?
Sure.
You say that your wife and you stopped having sex?
Well, we did not have the need to have sex any longer. Our four daughters were born, and it's not that I don't enjoy sex, but I realize its place. And Carrie got upset with me because she thought it was a comment on her that I didn't find her attractive. Of course I found her attractive. I found her, but you know, love is not about sex. Love is about a number of different things. And sex doesn't have a lot to do with love when you get right down to it. And so because I was involved in the Republican Party policies, she got angry with me. And I what she did is getting involved with this younger guy that I think makes her, and it makes a lot of women look stupid.
All right. I guess I'm having a hard time understanding. When you say, you told me that you don't spend a lot of time with your kids because you only have them once a month.
I don't, when you say I don't spend a lot of time with my kids.
Well, you only have your children once a month, right?
That is correct. Right now, Phil, I'm the night manager at the print shop here in Culver, and I am living currently with my mother only until I get back on my feet, but most of my work when I get home is going over the news channels. Getting on the internet and in the chat rooms and finding out the pulse, the feel of the land, and that is, and because President Bush is being vilified and is being totally, I think, slandered.
Let me get you back on the point, though. You don't spend a lot of time with your kids because you're writing about President Bush and you're.
Well, I had a letter published in the LA Times.
But the fact that you don't spend a lot of time with your four daughters, your wife has a younger boyfriend who is spending time with these kids, and apparently the family itself over there.
Well, it's not a family. This is a boyfriend that she has. All right.
What I'm trying to say here is, isn't it possible your wife has just moved on with her life and is not trying to stick it to you?
No, you need to understand women. A little bit better than that, Phil. She is, I think, in a very sad way, trying to say, just because you're a Republican doesn't mean that you get to, be the president of the United States forever. I'm a Democrat, and I'll prove to you that I'm going to stick it to you. She's angry at me, basically, and I find it embarrassing for her.
Is she angry at you because you wouldn't have sex with her?
No, because women don't need sex in a relationship. They think men need sex in a relationship, and so they're constantly fawning themselves in a manner that is, I find salacious, and I find improper. So the fact that she left me had nothing to do with our lack of sex. Women are not that attached to it as men are, and I love sex. I just don't have the time for it, and I didn't have the time for it in our relationship. Now, she's angry, and she left me because I'm a Republican. And I think a lot of Republican men out there share my quandary.
Well, I can tell you something, man.
Please, don't bring up to me your experience, please.
No, I'm not going to tell you my experience. My wife enjoys sex. I do. I don't know that it's something that women don't like.
Women like it because men like it. But if we don't want to have it, then they don't need to have it. And I'm trying to explain this to you. And
so the sex wasn't it?
No, it was the fact that I was a Republican and a member of the Republican Party.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Calvin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. This is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County.
I think this is a horrible excuse and a horrible way to prove that all Republicans are feeling like that. What kind of insecure guy would say that his wife will leave him and take the four children just because he's a Republican? And
she didn't like the work I was doing on behalf of the party to get rid of Bill Clinton.
So you're saying that sex is just an act for procreation and that's it? What about the act of intimacy with your wife?
There are many ways of being intimate with a woman, Calvin. You don't have to engage in something that is potentially disease-ridden and can certainly not only harm yourself and your mate, but other people.
This is your wife. This is not some dog mate that you have.
No,
this
I understand.
Is your wife.
But I don't. Just because she's my wife doesn't mean I'm going to take advantage of her as some sex cow. And I have more respect for her than that. And,
well, how do you engage your point? You contradict yourself. You say you're not going to take advantage of her, but yet she's asking you to just
the only reason.
Manly do.
No, but the only reason why she's asking me is because women think men want to have sex all the time, and so they try to accommodate us. If we would be honest with them and say,
well, wait a second, man. Men do desire sex frequently, all right? We have a much more physical connection to it, perhaps, than women do.
Yes, but when I was involved in trying to get President Bush reelected,
what does Bush have to do anything with your bad judgment?
If I had spent my time in bed having these relations with my ex-wife, we wouldn't have the leader in office, and there wouldn't be other people such as myself working on behalf of the Bush campaign.
What does George W. Bush have to do with you not being a good husband?
I was a great husband, but my wife hated the fact that I was a Republican. She hated me for that, and she took my children and left.
What do your children think?
My children are sticking it to me, too. They say, John this, John that, this new boyfriend she's got took him to Hurricane Harbor, took him up camping to Big Sur, and this kind of nonsense. I beg your pardon?
Is he a Democrat?
I have no idea, but knowing my wife, she probably did begin to cohabitate with a Democrat in as disgusting a manner as she could to stick it to me again because I'm a Republican.
How long were you married?
All right,
how long?
I got to take a break here, Calvin. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover is with us. I'm hearing a guy who, he says he feels sorry for his ex-wife because she's taken up with this younger guy, and she's trying to make it look like she's happy just so she can stick it to Larry because he's a Republican and she was a Democrat. Now, he says that he stopped having sex with her after their four daughters were born, but that wasn't the reason why she left, because women only want to have sex because men do. The reason why she left is she can't stand the fact that he's a Republican and Bush got elected. Now, am I hearing a guy that's not quite hearing his ex-wife, or is there something to this two political points of view in a family do not mix? 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
There's some calls here in a second, but I want to ask you, Larry, you mentioned that in families, in marriages where one is a Republican, one is a Democrat, in your ex in your relationship with your ex-wife.
Right.
She was a Democrat, you were a Republican, and that they use sex to distract each other.
Well, I can tell you in the case, in my case, Phil, as we were working very diligently to try to get this man Clinton removed from office, my wife was aware of this. And in these relationships, these couples, the wife will try to distract the husband from his political intent by using sex and very salacious forms of sex, very provocative and profane kinds of sex to get the man distracted. My wife used sex, and I can tell you there were nights I would be writing a letter to the editor of the L.A. Times, and she would come in and rub herself on me in these things, knowing that I was working diligently to get rid of this man, Clinton.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Wendy. Wendy, go ahead.
Yes, I just would like to tell this gentleman that he is so wrong about women not liking sex. They love sex, and it's a part of marriage.
I think women say that, yes.
No, women do love that. I'm a woman. I don't see how you can tell a woman what they like when you're a man.
I told my wife when we got married that she'll be very happy with the kind of husband I am. I'm not the kind of person that demands of a woman sexually. I think women have been beaten into submission to say they like sex because men grope them and try to get their hands, up their blouses and things.
Well, I got married when I was 17.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm 41, and the most important part between me and my husband is our sexual...
Can I ask you your political persuasion? Is your husband a Democrat or a...
He's a Democrat, and I'm a Republican.
All right, so
and there's not one person on this earth that's going to make a difference in President Bush being reelected.
No, but enough of us can. And if your husband is involved politically, I would think it to be a very untoward move by you to rub yourself on him or otherwise try to get your husband distracted from the most important work, which is to get our president reelected. I was writing a speech to send to President Bush that I felt he should use when he addressed the troops in Iraq, and my wife took her breast and rubbed it on my pen, and I felt sorry for her.
Well, you know, it don't take but a few minutes for you to please your wife, and I think that you should have took the time with your family and your wife, and you would still have them. Because if my husband did not have sex with me or please me, or I would find another man.
But do you find yourself rubbing, a part of yourself on his work materials?
On his work materials?
Yes.
His body work materials, yes. But
well, no,
he's going to take the time
desk,
to be with me.
Do you sit on his desk without clothes on and rub it all over?
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. I guess I would, but I wouldn't do it.
I had an election to win. And
you lost your marriage and you lost your kids. That's sad. That's all I got to say.
I see my children.
Yeah, only once a month.
So you're telling me that's not enough?
Well,
no.
I mean, the kids are like, your wife's got a new boyfriend.
That's a passing phase. She's going to get over when she sees she's not getting to me.
All right, Wendy, thank you.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to this conversation, and I believe you always put your work first before you would put your family. I'm a Republican as well, and I love
you. You understand.
Yeah, I love George Bush, but there is a time and a place for work.
Can I ask you a question, young man? Do you have a cold or?
Yeah, I've had the flu.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
And
have you tried the Theraflu or the?
You drinking tea, Eric?
Yeah, I've been drinking a lot of fluid and everything. I'm just
all
now
right.
coming off of it.
Very good.
But
well, Eric, as a Republican, our love for our commander in chief, this wonderful man George Bush, who pulled our country from the brink on 9/11. I'm not going to sacrifice that for a wife who wants to take an unwashed part of her body and, try to shove it onto my face.
Okay, you don't have to be graphic, sir.
I'm sorry?
You don't need to be graphic.
Well, I apologize. I'm just trying to say to the young... Well, go ahead, Eric. I'm doing all the talking.
But what I was saying is... I'm in a relationship as well. I'm 26. My girlfriend is 24.
Yes, sir.
We have a strong relationship. There is a time for work, but yet there is still the time for the family that you need to spend time with the family.
Well,
and I think
point.
That's why your wife left you was because you were putting too much time for your work and not spend enough time with her and the kids.
Now, what about that? You know, Larry, people are trying to say it isn't so much that you were Republican, it's that your wife just wanted more time with you.
I can assure you that these Democrats, I would believe it if she were a Republican. I would totally agree with what you gentlemen are saying. But the Democrats will stop at nothing to get George Bush, and you used the comparison very well, probably our finest wartime president since Franklin Roosevelt. And for my wife, when I come in and I say to her, I need to get a letter off to Bill O'Reilly, because maybe he'll read it on his show, and she's standing there in one of these brassieres that she bought over here at the pleasure chest, a brassiere that shows it all. Is the young man with the cold still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What do you think about that?
Well, like I said, I believe there's a time for family time and a time for work.
I think the Democratic Party encourages the women in the party to use their sexual portions to get ahead.
I don't think that's true. I disagree with that.
You disagree with that. Is your wife a Democrat, did you say, sir? Or your girlfriend?
We're both Republicans.
All right, see? That's why you're
going
to go out with a Democrat and she'll try to stick it up in your face every time you try to get a call in to Rush Limbaugh.
I can't breathe.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. His wife was a Democrat. He was a Republican. He spent a lot of time trying to get Clinton out of office and Bush reelected, and his wife left him. You feel because you're a Republican, not because you didn't have sex with her and didn't pay any attention to the kids.
Well, Mr. Henry, there are plenty of men who don't sexually pleasure their wives for any great length of time, and their wives are not leaving them. My wife left me because she realized that I was not going to fall prey to the sexualization of our marriage at the expense of electing one of the greatest leaders this country's ever had, George W. Bush. And I can tell you, I haven't spoken to anybody who's been married to a Republican or a Democrat, and they're the opposite, that this doesn't happen to. So you need to understand. And the other thing, the biggest point of all is, she's a woman of 40, dating a man a good 7 years younger than her. She looks absolutely foolish, and I don't know how to get on the phone with her and say, Carrie, for God's sake, you look ridiculous. Going out with this kid, I had to resort to using my wife's ear when she'd come into my office for the sex to get her away, and I would use an air horn that was suggested to me by a sexual surrogate by the name of Dr. Susan Sloan at the University of South Carolina, and if I could, you can hear that. Believe it or not, I had to do that to get her away from me. And again, a woman of 40 dating some 33-year-old man, and...
Yeah, but he's a man, and he's treating your kids well, and...
But only not to treat my kids well, but to sting it to me.
I don't see it, man. Let me go over to Jason. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, like I said earlier, I think this guy here, he's dwelling on the fact that his wife's getting it from somebody else. But the reality of the fact is that he's kind of too much of a prude, really, to be...
Well, when you say getting it from someone else, knowing what I just said about women and their disinterest in sex...
I've never met a woman yet that's had a disinterest in sex. You know,
Well, when you say that, you got to qualify. What about your mother? You know, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to talk about her that way.
No.
So,
whatever.
The point that I'm making is that this woman going around with a younger man 33 years old. My wife's in on all fours right now trying to ruin my work for George Bush's second term.
Well, see, I don't disagree with you there, because I back George 100%.
Exactly.
And I still get tell. But the fact is, you just need to learn to put the pen down and handle your business instead of basically have your nose in the books. You know, if she's coming to your work and doing this,
well,
it's obviously telling me something.
Jason,
so you're not handling your end.
I don't know if you've ever been in the military or done anything to help your country, but there's a time when you just have to say no to some woman walking in, rubbing it all over your pen and pencils and
oh, come on, man. I mean, how can you say no to that? What do you think? You're so intent on right.
I say no to that.
We've got four daughters, so excuse me. I do know how to do it in a way that can create life and also stimulate some pleasurable experience.
No, because, see, it's coming off to me like you really don't know how to pleasure somebody. You do it just for the breeding factor, you know. From what I've heard,
we had our four daughters. I don't see any other reason to engage in it while there was a president who is doing it on the floor of the
White House.
He was a sexual deviant, but you know, you really
on me like a blue ass baboon in heat, and I couldn't have it. I tell you.
So you'd blow freaking horn.
Yes.
If it was me, you could, you just handle your business right where it's at and quit being such a prude.
Good point, Jason.
And that, to me, just makes you...
Well, I wear the title prude with great pride, Jason, because...
That's obvious, because, you know, I live in the state of Mormons, and I've never met somebody with a stick up their butt so far as you.
Oh, now you're getting personal. Like, are you saying I like to take something hard up my rear end?
You're the one that's applying that.
Get it out of here. Get him out of here.
I don't know what you're applying. I don't know where you're going with that, but leave me out of it. I don't know what you're into.
Well, I'm blowing the air horn, which means I want you out of here because you're trying to get sexual with me.
No, he is not.
Yeah.
Jason, thank you very much.
That guy's talking about, hey, would you like to have a broom handle?
No, he didn't.
Bug off. Go on. Get out. Every time she'd come in and she'd say, how about tonight, Larry? How about tonight? It's been 6 months. How about tonight? And I go, get out of here. God, there's the air horn. Bug off. I've got to put in a call to Rush Lamba, call Bill O'Ricky, and all of the, and Sean Hoonan, hump me. I forget the kid's name. He's some Mick from California. But I can...
Get out of here, you and your air horn. Bill O'Hickey and Sean Hooney. And let's not forget Rush Lamba. There he goes, Larry Hoover. What a pervert. I wish I could say he's a pervert. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with the world-famous Phil Henry Show in a moment.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models.
+1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Last few minutes here with Larry Grover, who believes that his ex-wife, Carrie, who I knew, and I think she's a terrific lady.
Oh, Carrie's a great mother. Please don't get me wrong, Phil. I just...
Well, you're saying she used sex to keep you from your Republican work because she was a Democrat.
Absolutely. And, you know, and...
And you had an air horn in your office to ward her off?
Well, you can make fun of it, Phil, but I had to make the point. You are not going to come in here dressed in, you know, the crotchless items that she purchased or what have you.
All right, let me go to Carlos. Carlos, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover. Carlos?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Larry, I got a question for you. You mentioned something earlier about the military. Well, I am currently in the military.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I would not... stop one moment for my family. You know, most important thing in my life is my family, and I will not stop one moment just so I.
But Carlos, you recognize that being in the military, you could lose your life.
Exactly.
All right, but how's that putting your family first? Ah, see.
I'm not going to stop living my life with my family, so that way I can go do whatever I have to do to fight this war.
I loved my wife, but she would come in while I was in the middle of placing a phone call to the Rush Limbaugh show, and I'd say, and she'd be, you know, wearing some kind of a sexual outfit that is meant by Democrats to distract me. And I'd say, I had the air horn. I'd just say, all right, get out of here with that crotchless underwear. Go on.
You know, if my wife came with some crotchless underwear to my office,
no kidding.
I would be more than happy to do the dirty deeds that I would have to do.
All right, let me ask you this. What if there was a battalion of red Chinese down the street ready to begin to rape every woman? And are you still going to get down on the floor and have sex, or would you pick up your rifle and engage the red Chinese?
Of course, I'm going to go fight
okay.
the red Chinese.
So there you go.
But see, you're not fighting a war. You're sitting behind an office making phone calls.
I tried getting through it. I got through on the Rush Limbaugh show, and I was excited
about... Who cares about Rush Limbaugh? Or Limbo...
Limbaugh.
Yeah, you're pronouncing his name wrong. It's
yeah,
not Limbaugh. It's
Limbaugh.
I thought it was Limbaugh.
No.
What is it? I'm sorry.
Rush Limbaugh.
All right, sir. I thought it was Limbaugh or Lambone. But I will tell you that you hit the nail on the head. You'd go fight the Chinaman before you shag your wife on the floor of a garage.
Well, first of all, you're right about that, but I don't think my wife
would
be there
back you. I'm not
while
getting
I'm fighting the Chinaman, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Hey, Carlos, thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. That's a young man in the military.
And I honor him for that, and I absolutely think that it's remarkable what he's doing. And he said he's not going to get his wife on all fours out in a goat pasture if the Chinaman is coming down the road. To me, I say, all right, get up off the floor, get up off the ground, and pull your pants up. There's Chinese down here, and you and those 44 jugs or whatever you want to call them.
I got it already. Martha.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, you know, I just want to tell this gentleman that
yes,
I feel sorry for that woman, that poor woman.
Poor what she's doing,
I don't.
Well, I feel sorry for her.
I don't think she was treated as a woman. She was treated as an object, and she wasn't getting the love, and she wasn't getting the consideration. I don't care what party he is. I don't care that he wants Bush to be our president. The family is the most important thing in the world. For anybody, if you don't take care of your wife and
Martha,
if you don't take care of your children, yes?
Martha, let me say this. I was on hold, and I was this close to getting on the Don Primus show, and my wife crawled into my office with no clothing on and a tub of margarine in her teeth. And you know what I said? I said, get the butter out of here.
You know what? That's for
what
woman.
What the hell?
A woman. You don't know what a woman is.
But, ma'am,
she had the right to do it because you're her husband.
Don Blindeye was going to put me up.
What do you mean, Don Blindeye?
She's not
going to
do it with you. Who do you
right.
want you to? Who do you want her to do it with? That's what she's with a young
to
man.
To do what,
he
dear?
He wants love. He wants affection, and he wants understanding.
But sexuality
and
is...
you weren't giving her that.
Yes, I understand.
You see, you're more interested in a party. You're more interested in Bush. Bush doesn't care about you. Bush doesn't care about me. Bush,
of course he does. He's a great president. But my wife walks in while I'm on hold on the Don Blind Boy show, and he said...
Who's Don Blind Boy?
The guy from New Mexico.
Don Imus?
I'm sorry. And I said to her, oh, crotchless underwear and a whip. Bug off!
Okay. Martha, I thank you.
Yes.
You made some very good points, dear. Thank you very much for calling, okay?
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Martha. You made some very good points, dear. You know, Mr. Henry, it's the sexualization of the female in our country that you've created. And you know what I say to you and all of your men out there with their erections and everything? Get out of my life! I'm Larry Grover, and I don't have sex.
Oh, God, what a freak. I'm sure... She crawled in with a tub of margarine in her teeth, and I said, get out of here with that butter. Sick freak, man. And you know what? They're all over, folks. They're all over. All right, it's the Phil Henry Show. We thank Larry Grover for being on. He is He's working hard to get President Bush reelected, almost as hard as Dean Wheeler is to get John Kerry elected, and they're both a couple of freaks. Don't forget, the Phil Henry Show's Bets of the Year 2003 CD is available online. We'll tell you more about it in a moment, but first, we have for you another edition of our show's Funniest Lines. Yes, the funniest lines from the Phil Henry Show is voted by you, our listener. You can email them to us at phs@philhenryshow.com. Go to our website and check out the funniest lines section. These are lines that have been spoken by one of our characters on the show down through the years. And it might make it onto our webpage. Art Bell said General Judson Jameson is joining... Please forgive me. Can you tell that I read these cold on the air? I don't know what I'm going to be reading. Art Bell said General Judson Jameson's joining us. I'll get it out. General Judson Jameson's... This is childish of me. Come on. General Judson Jameson is joining us on the Wild Asshole Line. Oh, my God. This is one from Steve Bozell. My son turned my balls into two silver dollar pancakes. Larry Grover, I took a 32-inch pool cue up the rear end. I even have the blue chalk marks to prove it. Oh, God. We've already read these, Janice, haven't we? Oh, okay. 3,000 people are dead, and I'm the only one checking for jars of analies. Dean Wheeler. You Americans had Budweiser to drink during baseball games, and all we got is goat's milk during a pebble toss. Raj Fanin. Bobby Dooley said, I just don't want to see a mob of tards hobbling down Main Street, leg braces raised high, leaving a trail of drool coming to kill all the two-leggers. America has one testicle, wins races, goes to Mars, and a friend of mine wiped today in Tehran with wax paper. Raj Fanin. How do you pronounce this guy's name? Bruce Villeneuve? Villeneuve?
Valanche.
Valanche? Why any woman would want to look like Bruce Valanche is beyond me. Larry Grover. Who is he referring to? We don't know. All right, anyway, those are some of the funniest lines that were sent in by you guys. Oh, my God, that freaking Art Bell line. That is hot, man. Getting hotter all the time. Two silver dollar pancake. The wild. I better not say it again because somebody will get upset. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. And again, I wanted to tell you about our Best of CD, which is out and it's available at our website. And all the money goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. We'd like to make that point very clear. We do not, and I mean we do not, take any of that bread for ourselves. It all goes to those guys. They do some great work. If you ever want to see the kind of stuff they do, go to their website, homelessyouth.org. So what else, man? Howard Dean's done. We're kind of getting out early tonight, aren't we? Well, I got a couple of things I want to say. George Foreman's coming out of retirement, baby, and I think it's fantastic. I love how these guys say, oh, don't you think he'll get hurt? What do you think's happened to the guys 30 years younger than him? They're not getting hurt? Don't you think he'll get his brain scrambled? Well, maybe. And maybe he won't. Maybe he'll kick some ass. And won't you feel bad if you let that man into that ring and he dies? You know, there was a time in this country, you're not going to believe this, you younger people. You're not even going to believe this. But there was a time in America when we debated whether we should outlaw boxing. And I'm not saying this to say that it was wrong. I'm saying this just to tell you that people actually talked about humane things like outlawing boxing. Boxing is the only sport where the goal is to damage another man. People say, well, in football you get hurt, in race car, but the object of football is not to hurt another human being, and the object of auto racing isn't to do that. Boxing is the only sport where the object is to do damage to another person. Is that humane? I do know that martial arts are an art form. But when you're practicing and when you're actually in the midst of the art of martial arts, man, you know, you're holding your punches. You're not trying to beat the crap out of somebody. There's only one reason to know how to box well, and that's to beat the crap out of someone. Not for sport, not for money, not for somebody to watch and drool and drink their beer, but to really kick someone's ass who needs their ass kicked, okay? So yeah, boxing ought to be illegal. What do you think of that one, baby? Right about that, all you cats at the Times.